Parker. 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 Parker.
You know what? I had forgotten that we had an open.
I got
Parker Gabriel, formerly of the Lincoln Journal Star, now of the Denver Post. Parker, I don't know how amenable you'll be to this, but you know, given that, you know, we like Nick to work and encourage him to do good work, and that's probably one of his best opens he's ever created. We might need to make this more of a regular visit if you're amenable to that.
I'm amenable. You have some simple-esque pronunciation there, but yes, I'm amenable.
amenable, whatever. I can't talk.
Close enough.
How are things going, Parker?
Going great. I mean, I don't cover the Rockies, so, you know, there's that.
That's oof. I mean, that's, of all the things not to cover in that area, I think I would definitely take the Rockies off my list.
I was just informed, actually, by Nick that they got swept by the Marlins. That would be the Marlins who had 6 wins before they started playing the Rockies and now have 9, which is 2 more than the Rockies.
The Rockies are the get-right series for teams.
Yeah.
Get on track.
Yeah, which inevitably means your favorite team will go to Denver this summer and lose 2 of 3 because that's just the way baseball works.
Yeah, yes. No, that's probably right. Parker Gabriel, the Denver Post, joining us here on Unsportsmanlike Conduct, 42 Degrees, the Source Hotline. So with a week now to kind of work it in and, you know, chew on it a little bit, what's been the reaction locally to the Bo Nix pick?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been fine, which I guess is also how I graded the pick. Like, you know, they needed a quarterback, and it was an historic quarterback draft class, just in the sense that everybody knew they were going to come off the board early. And so, like, is Bo Nix the 12th best player in the draft? No. I mean, you find almost nobody who would say that. But they needed a quarterback, and they had a grade on him where it wasn't completely outlandish to take him. And not only that, but like, I don't know, if they went back to 25, I'm not sure they would have got him had they traded back. And so, you know, does that make it the best value of all time? No. Does it mean that he has superstar upside? I mean, it doesn't seem like it, but what does anybody know about quarterbacks in the draft? So I think there's some excitement. It might be tempered excitement a little bit, but you know, they did it without trading up. They did it without giving up extra draft capital. And, you know, now we'll see how this partnership with Sean Payton works. It'll be pretty interesting to follow.
Parker, do you kind of see Bo having a realistic shot at being the starter for the Broncos when the season rolls around?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, listen, like, you know, they have a, I guess, again, interesting is the way to say it. They have a very interesting quarterback room now, with Bo Nix, Jarrett Stidham, and then obviously they traded for Zach Wilson a few days before the draft. Like, the argument for Nix is the easiest one to lay out. Like, you drafted him 12th overall. He set an FBS record by starting 61 games in college. You know, and you don't have the weight of big expectations this year. And not only that, but like, they don't have great skill players, but they have okay skill players, and they have a pretty good offensive line, a veteran offensive line. It's not like Bryce Young in Carolina last year, where you'd be throwing him into a situation where there's just nothing around him. And so when you take all of that and you combine it with the fact that nobody really expects them to be good in 2024, they have $67 million in dead cap sitting on their books. Like, why not? You know, if you think he's going to be the guy in the future, like, why not let him play and struggle some and grow in 2024 instead of, like, seeing what you got in 2025 when you actually are hoping, you know, to be good? And so, like, you still have to show that do it, or at least signs that you can do it. You have to win the job and all of that. But yeah, I mean, I don't, it would, he would have to look really bad in the preseason, or just like he's flat not ready, in for me to sit there and think like it would be a bad idea for him to play early.
So the idea that Zach Wilson's fifth year option wasn't picked up today is not that surprising.
No. I don't think the trade would have happened if they were going to get, if he had, you know, if the Jets, I mean, I know it wouldn't have happened if the Jets had picked it up, and the Broncos are not, I mean, they weren't going to guarantee him $22.4 million for 2025. So that's what, it makes it really interesting. Like, they barely gave up anything for him, right? They swapped a sixth round pick and got, they gave up a sixth round pick. They got Zach Wilson and a seventh. And so, you know, like, to me, it's sort of, you're going to see, I think they just want to try to untangle that, you know, situation a little bit and see if they can figure out what it was that went so wrong with Zach Wilson in New York. Side note, it is hilarious to think about Sean Payton watching film of Zach Wilson running Nathaniel Hackett's offense one offseason after watching film of Russell Wilson running Nathaniel Hackett's offense. But yeah, I mean, I just think you get him in camp, you get him in the offseason program, and you try to figure out, like, is there a footwork and an eye discipline thing we can figure out? Or does this guy have some real, you know, mental block that is not, that he can't get over? And, you know, it's not like he's likely to become, you know, Joe Burrow or anything, but if you get something out of him, then you have options. You can keep him. If he's way better than Bo, you can play him. If he's, you know, a fine backup, then great. He's a fine backup. And maybe you try to find a little, you know, a modest extension for him. Maybe you trade him or Jarrett Stidham at the end of camp if somebody has an injury. So there's a lot of options. It just will make it interesting if he's there for the 1 year, he doesn't play much, and then he leaves via free agency. I mean, that would be kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah, you throw Stidham into that mix. How do you kind of see training camp playing out between these three? And I do find it interesting, too, that Wilson and Nix are the same age, despite Wilson already being in the league for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, Bo Nix is one of those guys that feels like he was in college forever.
Yeah, but only like since you were in college, basically, right?
It feels that way, honestly.
it is going to be interesting. Like, the Bo Nix, one of the things about, you know, sort of digging into these guys, the quarterbacks in this class leading up to the draft, is just the age thing is hilarious. Like, mm-hmm. Bo Nix, you know, he's 3 full years older than J.J. McCarthy. He's older than Sam Howell, who got, you know, traded from Washington to Seattle this offseason. He's older than Pat Surtain, who's the Broncos' best player and is going into his fourth year in the NFL. So, again, like, that's part of the rationale for throwing him into the action early. The only way this guy is green in the sense of playing in the NFL. Obviously, he's never done that before, but there's only one way for that not to be the case, and that's for him to play. So, like, that's, you know, you sort of see it that way, but at the same time, like, each of the three are sort of have a unique, like, the old saying, you know, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. Well, the Broncos have three, so you're going to see what you have in Bo Nix as a rookie. You're going to see if you can reinvent the wheel with Zach Wilson. And then Jarrett Stidham enters camp as a guy who they feel fine about, and who also, his biggest advantage is that he's been in the system for a year. So I think they'll try to get everybody reps, but honestly, like, probably more during OTAs and minicamp. And then I who knows how it'll go, but, like, I just don't think you can spend much time in training camp splitting reps between three guys before you at least start to narrow down, you know, what direction you think you're going.
Parker Gabriel of the Denver Post joining us. What did you think of the Troy Franklin pick and the move up the board to get him?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised at all. I mean, you know, what's kind of funny is, like, Sean Payton has this thing where he does the, like, if there's an obvious storyline, he just pours cold water on it all the time. Like, they signed 6 New Orleans Saints last year, and it was like, oh, guys – that he's familiar with, that's about culture. He's like, no, it's not about culture. It's just about, I know what their roles are. Well, okay. And, you know, then it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, Bo Nix, like, there's a level of comfort there, right, with the wide receivers. Like, yeah, but it's coincidental. Like, we just had him as the highest graded player on the board and sort of an outlier that we thought felt good about trading up for. Okay. Well, I mean, but it all worked out. You know, it's like the fact that they have Oregon's a guy that played center at Oregon too, Alex Forsythe, who's going into his second year. And he called Forsythe the warm, fuzzy blanket, the sort of comfort zone for Nix. And, you know, the fact that they drafted Nix as top receiver, a coincidence. So, you know, like, whatever. Maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe it's not. I think in general, you know, a lot of people in the league were surprised that he was sitting there at the end of day two. And Peyton made a point, which I think it sort of does seem like it plays out this well at the time. He said, most of the time when day one ends and when day two ends, there's a couple guys on the board that everybody knows are going to be the first off the board the next day. And, you know, Jatavion Sanders, the tight end from Texas, and Troy Franklin were two guys who, like, not a lot of people expected to make it to the fourth round. And so they had six picks on Saturday, and so they decided, hey, we're going to go up and get this guy. And so, you know, whether they did that because they really actually had a second-round grade on him, and there he was, or because he's Bo Nix's top receiver in college, or, like, you know, probably some combination of the two, even if it's 90 and 10 or whatever, it worked out well. And, you know, he's got to catch the ball. He had problems with drops in 2023, and he's thin, and he's got, you know, he's not Marvin Harrison Jr. He's not going to walk in and be a number one, but he's got explosive skills, and obviously he's, you know, can really run, and he's big, and he's long, and so, you know, that's a pretty good starting point, not to mention the fact that he caught 140 passes from Bo Nix the last 2 years.
Talking with Parker Gabriel of the Denver Post, let's switch gears over to the basketball side of things. T-Wolves series starts on Saturday. These teams were, I mean, neck and neck in the West this year. The regular season got split 2-2. The Nuggets won last year in five, but this feels like a much taller task than it was last year.
It's a different team in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, Ant is incredible. You know, I mean, that's just like his development. I mean, he obviously was good last year, too, but, like, his development's just been incredible. And like, they're really talented. One of the things that's interesting is, like, I think if you – you know, if you watch the NBA all year, like, it is hard to imagine somebody beating Denver four times in seven games. But Minnesota's one of the teams that you could see causing problems. And so that, like, makes it a great second-round series. And it's also a reminder that, like, the Nuggets, I think they went 16-4 last year in the postseason. They lost, like, two games in Phoenix. And that was about as much in the second round. That was like about as much adversity as they really faced in the postseason. So, you know, that it's going to be a much tougher road this year. And you've got, you know, a really, really good Minnesota team, talented Minnesota team. They've got, you know, bigs where it's like, okay, you know, you've got, if Jokic is on Gobert, then, like, how do you deal with Karl Anthony Towns? And if you use Aaron Gordon, you know, in terms of, like, bigger guys, you have Aaron Gordon and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. It's like, so who deals with Anthony Edwards and who deals with Karl Anthony Towns? And there's all sorts of interesting matchups. There's great players across the board. And then you have a question with the Nuggets in terms of just, like, can Jamal Murray hold up with the calf injury? And, yeah, it makes it a pretty saucy second-round matchup.
Yeah, it seems like Jamal has had a bit of the clutch gene so far in these playoffs. Is there any concern that the slow starts that the Nuggets had against the Lakers, they can't repeat against a team like the Timberwolves and kind of dig out of that kind of hole every game against a much better team?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they can't. I think you can look at it two ways, right? I mean, like, the series against the Lakers was really competitive for a five-game series. And at the same time, it's like Denver didn't, you know, shoot the ball great from outside and didn't, you know, play great for relatively long stretches. And yet, you know, there was never really a moment where you're like, are they going to lose this series? And so, yeah, I mean, I don't think they can afford, I don't know what they finished shooting from 3-point range overall for the first round series, but, like, they need to shoot the ball better. They've got to be a little bit more efficient offensively. And they're really, you know, if Jamal Murray had to talk his way into playing game five. And so the rest, I'm sure, is good for him. But if there's a point, you know, where he either can't play or he's really limited. If this calf injury flares up, you know, they could really actually be in trouble. But yeah, no, I think it's like you said, they can't afford to probably play at the same caliber they did for a good chunk of that series against the Lakers. But we've also seen them just, you know, go nuclear sort of on the flip of a switch offensively all season. And so, you know, you don't know for sure that's going to happen, but you know they have that in the bag.
Parker Gabriel, the Denver Post. I want to let you go on this one, Parker, because we're going to look a little closer into it here in the next segment. But, and I know you don't cover the Buffs, but what has been the reaction around there this week to the Sanders family essentially going to Twitter war with ex-players and critics after the publication of that Athletic article this week?
Yeah, that's a good question. It depends on what segment of the population you're talking about. I mean, this is probably the case in any fan base, but it's particularly strong at CU. There is a, you know, prime walks on water and can do no wrong segment of the fan base, particularly prevalent on social media, believe it or not. That's basically like, what, shocking. You know, he's not saying anything anyone didn't already know, you know, yada, yada, yada. But I think, I mean, you know, that our columnist Troy Rank, I thought, sort of hit it on the head. He wrote about it yesterday, and his lead was, you are what you tweet. And even if that's not, you know, true in every circumstance, hopefully, otherwise I'm a collection of bad jokes and useless football information. Like that, there's something to that, right? Like, you just don't, okay, yeah, you're doing something a new way. Yeah, you're sort of like min-maxing the portal era. That's all fine. But, like, it's never been the norm that college coaches demean players, whether they're current or former, and then that's just, like, cool. So, you know, it's certainly a look. I think that it seems like they're pretty sensitive about how that roster overhaul still gets portrayed. You know, they had 15 or 17 guys leave in the portal this offseason, which, again, like, a lot of schools had a lot of kids leave, but it's just like, when you put yourself out there like that and you talk like that, you know, it just, you're going to be scrutinized. And sometimes it's like, you know, it's not unique to Colorado, but when you get to the, like, you want to be able to say whatever you want and never have anybody criticized, like, that's just not the world we live in. And so, you know, it'll be it's a grand experiment. And this is certainly an interesting little mini chapter in it.
Parker Gabriel, Denver Post. Parker, great to catch up with you again. We appreciate it. And I'm sure we will catch up again as long as the Nuggets are still rolling along. And certainly we'll talk again later on when we get to training camp of the Denver Broncos.
I'm amenable.
You're amenable. Amenable. Amenable.
Amenable.
Again, English wasn't my first language. I'm not going to lie. Take care, Parker.
See you, Parker.
Yeah, see you guys.
Parker Gabriel of the Denver Post.
Parker.
It's on there. They're right there. There it is. Parker.
When you said that, I did get, that was a little sippy. That was pretty sippy.
What?
The amenable?
Yeah. I don't know why.
I've never heard you say that word. Why did you channel sip?
I don't know.
Is this how it starts?
I don't know.
One day you say amenable and next you're getting Applebee's at 4 p.m.?
No, well,
the Oriental chicken salad.
That would be tough because I'm here at 4 p.m. So
start taking breaks.
That's the one thing that might keep me from turning into full-fledged old man and eating at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Is
I'm always going on a weekend.
It's true,
right? But I'm not gonna do that. I'm still a night owl at heart, sort of.
Well, it's because you don't have a choice because of, you know, late tips.
Late tips.
You love late tips.
Oh, I love my late tips. I'm just glad that Philadelphia and New York are getting paid back tonight. More on that coming up.
Oh.
More on that coming up. But I do want to explore, because I decided to go down the Prime Twitter rabbit hole this morning.
You don't want to go down the Prime hole.
And found some things in
crazy
there. And besides, we got to stoke the flames, right? Get the oxygen on the fire for second game of the season.
Ain't hard to find.
He's not hard to find, and neither are we on 1620 The Zone.
Nick Grimm for Circa Sports Iowa. The Rockies, they're bad, but that could be good for you with the Circa Sports Iowa app. If you want a team to fade, unfortunately, that's the one to do it. You can gain on the Rockies' race to the bottom anywhere in the beautiful, great state of Iowa. Circa's tight money line splits means other sportsbooks can't compete. They have a bunch of people, a team, making sure that every single line on their app is as accurate as it can possibly be. A lot of other books don't, which means a lot of other books won't be as good for you as Circa Sports Iowa. They also won't keep as much on large market bets, which also means a better return for you. The other guys, not as good. If you run into any problems at all, by the way, their customer service is also just the best. It's not AI, it's not chatbots, it's real-life human beings who want to help you and get everything sorted out that could need sorted out. Download the Circa Sports Iowa app today. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-238-7633.